Krishna, 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 Krishna Ketava Parima Krishna Ketava Krishna Ketava Krishna 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 Our next quality of Lord Krishna, which we are discussing, is quality 32. It is my favorite quality. It's called Karuna, or compassionate. When the devotees in Goloka Dham were asking me, Maharaj, where will you have your room? I said, I need more than a room because I have deities, Shri Radha Kunya Vihari, who need the temple. Oh, so you need a second temple room? I said, yes. So we found a little house which was almost to be ripped down or taken down, and we built a nice temple there, and a nice working room, and a place where all my books are there, and we called it Karuna Bhavan, the house of mercy. So anyone who comes and visit me, he gets a minimum of one present. Yes. Please come and visit me, and then you will get a nice present. Wonderful, isn't it? So, therefore, I'm very happy to talk today about Karuna or mercy. Rupa Goswami defines this like this: a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. He feels like when somebody suffers, I cannot bear it, I cannot stand to see it, I need to do something against the suffering of this fallen soul. Krishna showed his compassion in a very wonderful way when he was in Dwaraka. One day, as he was in Dwaraka, he received a messenger. The messenger had run for many days. He looked very exhausted, and he told Lord Krishna a very shocking story. He said that there are 20,800 kings who have been imprisoned by the king Yarasandra, Yarasandra keeps them in a mountain prison, an inescapable mountain prison, and he just waits. From time to time he takes one of the kings and slaughters them as a human sacrifice for Lord Shiva. Prince Devi, I'm sorry you look so shocked. It sounds maybe nice to hear about this in Belgium, you know, so many kilometers away from it. But imagine you are in a prison and you know it's only a matter of time before the people come, you know, the servants of the king Yarasandra come, and then they take you out, and then they slaughter you for Shiva. This must be a terrible feeling. It's almost like a fish, you know, who's in the bathing tub and of some Christians who want to sacrifice him for the Christmas festival. So there's a verse which praises Lord in the Bhagavatam. It says like this: Yarasandha had defeated 20,800 kings in combat and thrown them into prison. As these kings emerged from the Giri Droni fortress, they appeared dirty and shabbily dressed. They were emaciated by hunger. Their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by their long imprisonment. So you can imagine, Krishna heard the messenger coming. He heard what the messenger had to say. Please, I'm a messenger to these 20,800 kings. Please come and liberate these kings from the prison. And then the Lord decided to do this. He appeared before the king, and the kings beheld the Lord before them. This is what the king saw. I'm reading again from the Bhagavatam. His complexion was dark blue, like the color of a cloud, and he wore a yellow silk garment. He was distinguished by the Srivatsa mark on his chest. His four mighty arms, the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the whirl of a lotus flower, his lovely cheerful face, his gleaming Makara earrings, and the lotus club conchal disc in his hand. I would like to show you how Krishna's Srivatsa sign looked, because that's very nice to look at. The Shivatsa sign of Lord Krishna looks like this. Three and a half turns. One, two, three and a half. That's how the sign looks on Krishna. It's very fine, white hair. Gopeshwari, you look totally fascinating. It's fine white hair. It's a line of fine white hair, which looks particularly wonderful because it has a contrast to Krishna's dark complexion. Wonderful, isn't it? This you must certainly note down in your notebook. So they saw Lord Krishna like this, and they saw also he had a helmet, a jeweled necklace, a golden belt, and golden bracelets and armlets decorated his form, and on his neck he wore a brilliant precious Kustuba gem and a garland of forest flowers. And their reaction was very, very nice. The kings seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes, lick him with their tongues, relish his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. The past things since now eradicated, the kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their heads at his feet. When someone sees Lord Krishna, the reaction is that all his senses, spiritual senses, become overwhelmed. Therefore, he smells the Lord's fragrance with his nose, and with his eyes he seems to drink the beauty of his form, and then he hears with his ears the beautiful, the wonderful rustling of Krishna's garments, shlup, shlup, shlup. And then he hears the very dark voice of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna usually does not say very much. He always says everything very brief, but full of deep meaning. Hare Krishna. So then Lord Krishna liberated the kings, and we can imagine, you know, I just see it in my eyes, all the kings coming out of the Giri Droni forest, prison. Yes, Giri Droni fortress. They came out in a long queue. They were all very, their pullovers were a little bit too big because they had fasted for so long. Everything was a little bit too big. They were so emaciated. But they looked very blissful. So then when the kings had seen Lord Krishna, they became, although they looked emaciated, they looked happy. And they said one verse which I would like to say with you. Rajanya Uvas Uchu Namaste Deva Devesha.
Namaste Deva Devesha.
Prapanati Halavyaya.
Prapanati
Halavyaya. Prapanan Pahina Krishna.
Prapanan Pahina Krishna.
Nivinan Gorasang Sritehis.
Nivinan
Gorasang Sritehis. The king said, obeisances to you, O Lord Krishna. O Lord of the ruling demigods, O destroyer of your surrendered devotees' distress, since we have surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna, please save us from this terrible material life which has made us so despondent. This was a prayer. Please save us from this terrible material life. They knew that, yes, we have escaped one type of prison now, but there is another prison in which we are still. That is a prison of material life, please free us from this. A second example is the example of Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma was on the bed of arrows. He had been shot through by many arrows of Arjuna. Now he was lying on this bed of arrows, and he was extremely anxious to see Lord Krishna before he would leave his body. When Krishna saw Bhishma lying there, he had tears in his eyes and forgot himself in compassion. And the devotees all say, all glories to the compassion of the Lord, which immediately renders his body helpless and overwhelms his own consciousness with its swift movements. Upon remembering Bhishma, the son of Ganga, who lay dying on a bed of sharp arrows, Krishna was bathed by compassion with tears from his quivering eyes. I think it's very nice to see that Krishna has a soft heart. When he saw his devotee Bhishma, his whole body shook and quivered, and he had tears bathing his eyes, his beautiful eyes. Amazing. We just imagine for a moment this picture of Krishna having tears of compassion in his eyes when he stood before his devotee. I think we become immediately very happy. Huh? Wow. Wonderful. There's a very interesting prayer in the Stava Mala by Rupa Goswami, who prays to Lord Krishna and his compassion. He says, O destroyer of the demon Agasura, my heart burns with despair when I hear of the difficult spiritual practices of the saints of old times like Shukadev and Ambarish, for I am totally devoid of devotion. You know, the devotee feels like, oh, they did so many austerities to get you, my dear Krishna. But what did I do? I only ate prasadam today. You know, the devotee is despaired. But when I hear from the scriptures and the sadhus that the waves of your compassion are flowing towards everyone, from Brahma down to the lowliest creature, the drops of nectarian hope cool off my heart and pacify it. Isn't that beautiful? Krishna, if I would only be able to reach you, if I also do these heavy austerities, like Ambarish, you know, fasting for a whole year, or like Shukadev Goswami, going undressed through the world. If I hear about all this, then I go like, whoops, I will never be able to be a devotee. But when I hear that you are compassionate, then I have a chance, because I am a good object of compassion. So there is a very nice now turn which Prabhupada takes. I very much like this. If you want to, if you wish to turn to Krishna, you should turn to his compassionate nature. Now, who is Krishna's compassionate nature? Mm-hmm. Is it also personified? Alakananda has an idea. Sri Radhika. That is the compassionate nature of Krishna. She is the compassionate nature of Krishna. Therefore, we turn to Radharani. Prabhupada writes, therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. Radhe, Radhe, Radharani, Radhe, Radhe, Radharani. They pray like this. There is a very nice verse in this connection, which tells us that we cannot actually reach Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Would you like to hear this verse? Manoha wants to hear it. Good. Anaradya Radha Padam Bhojareno Anashita Brindata Vimtat Padankam Asambhasya Tat Bhavagam Virachitan Kuta Shama Sindhu Rasasya Vagaha. How is it possible to immerse oneself in the ocean of Syam Rasa, love for Krishna or the Madhurya Rasa, without worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, or without taking shelter of Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints, or without serving her devotees, whose grave hearts are always absorbed in love for her? So you have to turn to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. You have to turn to Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints, and you have to turn to her devotees, whose grave hearts are filled, fully absorbed in love for her. Prabhupada once wrote a very interesting prayer where he said to us that without Radharani's mercy, it's actually not possible to reach Krishna. He says, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. This is the secret of getting the mercy of Krishna. Radharani's compassion is once discussed by Vrinda Devi, who told Purnamasi, O Devi, someone as compassionate as Radha cannot be found. One day she saw a newly born calf who had its mouth pierced by a blade of grass. Shedding tears of compassion, she smeared its lips with kumkum. Kumkum is put on a fresh wound for disinfecting it. So Radharani saw this calf has a mouth problem, needs to be taken care of, and so on. Now, Jiva Goswami, he knew some more details about this calf, which Radharani took care of. Jiva Goswami, he has analyzed the position of this calf and found out that this calf was born to one of Krishna's favorite cows. This means Radharani is more compassionate to someone who pleases and serves Lord Krishna. Then Radharani's compassion is very much awoken. If it is someone who has no connection with Krishna, then Radharani's compassion is not so big. But if
he sees he has someone who has special connection with Krishna, then Radharani's compassion is very big and very helpful. I remember not long ago reading how Srila Prabhupada said, instead of offering something directly to Krishna, we should offer it to Radharani, and then Radharani will offer it to Krishna. You can see in Vrindavan, Radharani has often some tulsi leaves in her hands, or even a tulsi garland, which she then offers to Krishna. It's the way to go to Krishna, to go through Srimati Radharani. Radhe Radhe Radharani. You remember this song? Was this year in Govardhan, there was one ashram who always was singing this song, and when we were going to bed, Radhe Radhe Radharani. Super. Yes. So this is some great secret about Krishna's compassion. A devotee should similarly develop compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. It's a very, very good feeling, compassion. It's totally opposed to the false ego. You know, compassion, when you have compassion in your heart, it really frees you from the dictation of the false ego. If you become a compassionate preacher, then you don't think so much of yourself and your back aches, but you think about the souls and how you can serve them, and immediately you feel better. It is very, very good. This compassion is very necessary to be. In fact, if you do not become a compassionate friend to all souls, then it will be very, very difficult for you to make further advancement. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets can only be reached by someone who's compassionate towards others. It's really the entrance visa. You will, when you come to Goloka Vrindavan, then there is a checkpost, and then it will be asked, Manoharji, where is your visa? I need a visa? I thought I only need with my Croatian passport some visas. Croatian passport is not the best passport, isn't it? You need always some visa. But the Serbian passport is even worse. So you may think, well, I didn't know that I need a visa. And then the Vishnu Dutas will say to you, Manoharji, the visa which you need is a visa of compassion. How compassionate were you? You are looking at me. These are good news. It's nice if we hear it now, because then we can still develop it. You have so much time. Most of you are not even 30 years old. Hare Krishna. You have lots of time. Isn't it? You remember? Our Lochan is already over 50 years. A child of eternity. No, we will never talk about the age of Lochan, because Lochan is totally timeless.
He lives up to 100 years.
Yeah? Lochan lives up to 100 years? Good, so no problem. Yeah? Du hast Chancen. So this is a very good point, compassion. Please try to learn compassion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that a true saint will see that others are not so much different from me. You know, normally we think, ich bin einzigartig. No one has such a strong mind as me. No one is so mental as I am. No one is so special or so artistic as I am. But actually, we are quite average, you know. There are many who are like us. And so a devotee understands, just like I suffer, others will also suffer. Let me do something to not make others suffer and to help them. Krishna, Krishna. Good. So, would you like to hear a story on compassion?
Yes.
I always like to tell this. Mm. There was once a man who was meditating in the Himalayan mountains, but he could not see that he made any advancement. In fact, he felt he was not making any advancement. So finally he decided, ach, es ist nutzlos. It will not work. I'm such a fallen soul. I will go back to my village, marry, and live a normal life. This life of a sadhu, it just doesn't work for me. So then he went out of the Himalayas and went back, and he came upon a mouse who with her tooth was trying to eat away a rock, because this rock had fallen before her mouse hole. Oh, he said, if the mouse is so patient to develop to take away the rock, I should be a little bit more patient when it's a matter of self-realization. So he went back and tried again to meditate. But he only thought of Maya from morning till evening and felt just very bad after some time. So he decided to give it up and go back to his village. So when he came over the village road, it was already just before the evening time. The sun was setting there. And no one was on the road except for one dog. I think we say pas, isn't it? There was one pas, one dog. And from this dog, pus came out, that is, this yellow fluid. The dog had been hit by some chariot or some cart and had an open wound, and now it was infected, and this yellow came out. The man thought, oh, poor dog. This must be the last hours of the dog. Let me do a good work. And he took his little bowl, went to the river, took some water out, put the water before the dog. This was the first time in his life, Gopeshwari, that he did something which was not only for himself. because he had meditated in the mountains only for his benefit. Now for the first time in his life, he did something for the benefit of others, for the dog. The dog went like, and it was empty. Nothing was in there. So again the man went and took some water and again brought it to the dog. It was empty again. Then the man went one third time. He felt so compassionate. And when he returned, there was no dog. There was one sadhu standing. That I took the form of the dog because I wanted to teach you one lesson. If you only do everything for yourself, never thinking of others, only my benefit, you will never make advancement. You have to think of others. Hare Krishna, now go back into the mountains and chant. Now you will be mature. Now you will make realizations. This is what is necessary in our own Dukhana Jivat, our spiritual life. We must also think of the benefit of others. Krishna consciousness does not mean that you only think, I must make advancement, I must control my mind, I must control my senses, I must this and this. Think of others, then you will quickly make advancement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one must be as tolerant as a tree. And the tree has two functions, you know. The tree does not protest when people take its fruits and bark and so on. And it continues to give, to be a giver of shade and all kinds of useful things like firewood and so on. This is what a devotee should keep in his mind. Compassion. Vishveshvara, Hari Bol. It's so nice to see your transcendental face, especially because you are extremely alert today. The definition of compassion is to be unable to bear another's distress. And Krishna gave that example when he saved these kings who were really in this prison and had a lot of problems in the prison. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions regarding compassion? So Yadunanda now has posed a very, very important question. He has asked, well, don't we also learn that everything which happens here is a dream? So why should you be compassionate when it's only a dream what happens? Well, I would like to take this example of a dream to explain it. It may be illusory, but still the feeling of misery is there. It's almost like a dreamer who dreams that he is attacked by a dangerous tiger and ripped into 1,000 pieces. He screams and screams and screams, and if you're next to him, you could say, dreaming? But he experiences misery in this state, in this dreaming state. It may be an illusory misery, but the misery is still there. The conditioned soul has surrendered to the dream of material existence. And because of this surrender to the dream of material existence, he is perceiving things in a material way and is suffering therefore.
almost like you know, when you a person who has nightmares and who's really suffering, but there is nothing there, but still he is suffering. This is one aspect. There's another important aspect also. When we are, let me see if I can express it to you. No, I think that explains it. If you wish to be compassionate, you must first of all address the point which Arjunandan Prabhu has expressed. You must address the point that people are suffering. Does this mean anything to you? People are suffering. You must search your heart if this is meaning something to you. You must first make the decision to help people in their suffering. And the second decision is... No, wrong. First you must recognize the misery of people. You must actually recognize, whoops, they are suffering. Then you must find in your heart a dislike for this. I do not like that people are suffering. And then the third is you must actively do something against the suffering of people. If you don't understand the suffering of other people and you think, well, it's only illusory, you will not be able to do something against the suffering. I think it's here very important to be a little emphatic, so to say, to go into the role of these people who are in suffering, in illusion. And you will see, when they suffer in illusion, it's really suffering. Have some of you ever been in illusion? No. And have you ever? You might have remembered when you were in illusion, how you suffered, and then the next time, maybe after a week, you thought, "How could I suffer like this?" I have seen this very much in my life. I write a lot. Everywhere are notes, and therefore I need writing pens. Most probably lost so many writing pens as there are hairs on my head. And I remember when I was losing the writing pens, I was always suffering great agony for 1 hour, and then I thought, get a new one, and you know, it's not lost. Someone will have found the writing pen and is now writing very comfortably with that writing pen. You know, it's not important that I... But I remember the first hour after I have lost the writing pen was always the most terrible hour in my life. I thought, there is no greater suffering than losing the writing pen. I think losing the head is even more pleasurable than losing this writing pen. It was an illusory attachment to a writing pen. But still, when you are in the illusion, it takes about 1 hour to get out of the illusion of suffering when you have lost a writing pen. And in my case, maybe in your case, it takes only 2.5 minutes. But when you are in that, you're really suffering.
when you are in illusion, the suffering is very much, very great. Therefore, it is said that there is helping to draw a conditioned soul away from the perverted attachment to the material energy is the greatest compassion. because then you can make an end to all the suffering. You draw the conditioned soul away from the perverted attachment to Maya. Hare Krishna. Any other questions regarding compassion? Ravin.
What if people don't realize they are suffering and they don't wish to be loved? What is
the When people don't realize that they are suffering and they don't wish to be helped, then you sometimes have to wait. And in Buddhism there is a story about, you know, a man who's in the forest and all of a sudden he finds out a tiger is chasing me. He's running. The tiger comes closer. And he runs and runs. The tiger comes closer. Finally, he jumps in an abyss. You know what is an abyss? Where it goes like this. So he catches, when he jumps, he just catches a little tree and he hangs there. So he looks up and he sees the tiger has arrived and is waiting so that he cannot escape. Hare Krishna. So he looks down and there he sees the female tigress going up and down waiting until he comes. So from up there is a tiger and down there is a tiger. Hare Krishna. But he sees that next to him is a red strawberry and he picks the strawberry and eats the strawberry and thinks, I am enjoying, life is very nice. I am having a very nice meal. Those of you who can appreciate strawberries know this feeling. That it's very good. So this is an illusory happiness, Robin. But this happiness acts as the greatest imprisonment of the conditioned soul. Someone who has this type of so-called happiness has no chance, really. Hare Krishna.
Well, it's many times I find myself in able to get in this mood of, in this idealism of helping people in the world by spreading Krishna consciousness, and I can get very enthusiastic about it. But then I see, due to my past, I have a lot of difficulty to take care of myself. So I find myself in the opposite position of the yogi. So that you described. So how should one do about that?
You feel that in order to be compassionate, you need to be fit, so to say. And when you recognize that, oh, there's so many things lacking in my life and I'm still so unsatisfied, then how can I be compassionate? Is it like this?
I can get into that mood of being compassionate. I like to be like that and be active in movement and help the people with Krishna consciousness and give them. But then I see I'm not always able to take care of myself due to my background, and so this is sometimes a very difficult situation.
How are you not able to take care of yourself?
Yeah, sometimes I get lost in my, I don't know,
action and so on. Yeah. Yeah, it seems to me that you feel to be compassionate, one needs to be a balanced person, one needs to be, yes, more or less fit, really, in spiritual life. Yes, there is. Prabhupada used to say this, that he said, the secret message of Krishna consciousness is first save yourself. He said, when you are trying to take someone out of the ocean who is drowning, you must see that you will not be pulled in the ocean in the process. But then he says, and I've just read this, he says, so saving people and saving yourself must go on parallel lines. I think if we wait until we are fully saved, that will take a little bit long time. And you will see when you save people and on parallel lines take care of yourself, then you will experience how your attempts to save others will help you to become fit. I always feel as a preacher that by preaching one really can feel that one gets a lot of benefit in his or her own life. Have you ever seen when you come from a preaching program, oh, how enlivened you are? There's such a sattvic atmosphere in Radha Desh, isn't it? The only place in the... I can't hear anything else than the nature. Good. Any other devotee has? There's no way to help a person. There's always some way we can pray. But I know there's sometimes you can't just get to a person. It seems also that the person cannot understand at the moment. I think it's important at such a time to make a little... When you see you can't do anything for the person. Yeah. And if you try again and again and again, it might have a counterproductive result. The person might become angry at you. We have seen this many times. When you want to help someone, you first have to really understand his situation. That's very important. That's die Faustregel, the main rule is to understand his situation. Usually when a person feels you understand his situation, then you can also help. See, most of the time when we are with people, we must first know how to connect with the people. We are here and the people are there and they feel we don't understand, then in fact they will not like that we can help, that we help them. But if we can connect to the people and they feel we understood, then they usually like to receive our help. Erika.
How far we can go with our help to be in compassion,
yeah,
to identify with their difficulties.
There's something it's very interesting that you asked the question. How far can we go? There's something in Christianity which is taught to the preachers. They are informed that they should be careful to not get lost in the other world. Because when you get lost, you just can't help any longer properly. You don't know what to do, and you are also miserable. You don't cry also. So the helper always needs to keep a little bit a cool head. He needs to always remain a little bit on the spiritual platform. This is very important. Otherwise, he can't really help. But Krishna usually moves when the compassion of his devotee moves. There's a very interesting point. Krishna's compassion comes after the compassion of the devotee, usually. First, the compassion of the devotee will move, and then Krishna's compassion follows. This is how it usually works. Manoharji.
Does the compassion always involve the feeling of superiority in that sense?
No, compassionate person doesn't have to feel superior in order to help. A devotee is usually a very humble soul, and he does not feel superior to anyone. That's very important. When you preach and you begin to feel superiority complex, then you very quickly lose your transcendental position. But when you see yourself a servant to the people, the servant of your spiritual master, then you can easily remain on the spiritual platform. It seems that in order to help, you must feel, or here is someone who needs my help and I can help. So a natural superiority, it seems, is established. But in Vaishnavism, this superiority is not so much there. It is not there. The devotee is on the spiritual platform and he sees, well, I'm not someone special. I only have special mercy, and I want to make this mercy now available to other people as well. I can remember when you are on, when sometimes I go to these rock and roll festivals, at least in the past we used to do this, and I very much remembered people were very low class. And they had beer in their hand, and one person gave me his beer glass. Here, please hold this. And I felt like, what to do? Now I'm caught. Hopefully, no one makes a photo and sends it to ISKCON World Review, the beer drinking Swami. You know, it really felt awkward, what to do? And then I remembered, not long ago, you were also with a beer glass in your hand. And now you're not, you're only different because of some mercy which came your way. It's not that you can be proud of yourself, you can just be happy about the mercy which you have obtained. Yeah, Manoharji? Who else of you has a question on compassion? Anandini. At this moment, no? Then I have extraordinary good news. We will have 20 minutes earlier free. I must tell you very that if you want to have some Vaishnav compassion, please show it on me. My life is very difficult due to this back pain. Which is, and I'm not so good in tolerating pain, I suppose. So please pray. I will make now a little pause and take care of the back. And then we will see each other at 7:30 in the slide projection room. And then I will show my truly compassionate side by showing you my newest slideshow on Vrindavan. We will actually see slides also of the Govardhan retreat. Yeah? I will make advertisement. So please come. And thank you very much. You are a wonderful crowd. We have somehow I feel such an intimate atmosphere, so personal. I feel very encouraged to discuss with you all these wonderful points about Lord Krishna's qualities. I hope it will be beneficial for your spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Gaunitai ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.